welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together as we continue our celebration of the baptism of our Lord. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Our opening hymn, we heard the prelude get us ready for worship tonight, Thy Strong Word. We'll sing the first four verses of that hymn, and then we'll pick up the last three verses for our closing hymn. Following that opening hymn, we will pray Vespers, page 229 and following. We'll use the worship insert from this last Sunday. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. First, you'll need that for the additional psalm. We'll sing the introit together. I think everything is printed out for us. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word, and to be filled with your wisdom. Heavenly Father, the world is a world of foolishness and folly. So often we run to and cling to things that are of no lasting value. Heavenly Father, tonight, teach us what true wisdom is, and where true wisdom lies. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen, to give us life, life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Hymn 578, verses 1 through 4.
The Order of Vespers, page 229. We stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Lord, and to the Lord's Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and the words of our introit as printed on your bulletin insert.
from the book of Joshua, the third chapter. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it." The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the words of our gradual together. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Church of God in Corinth, the first chapter. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the Lutheran Church, we possess the wonderful treasure, the wonderful tradition, indeed the wonderful blessing of the lectionary. And here at Good Shepherd, we make use of the historic one-year lectionary. Now, if we were to identify a difficulty in compiling all of these texts throughout the course of the church year, it would probably have to be deciding where a text is going to begin and where it's going to end. But probably a more important question for most people is, how long is the text going to be? For, of course, if the text is too long, then we begin to squirm in our pews wondering if it's ever going to end. However, if we cut it off too soon, or leave off a critical part of the text's context, then our sinful flesh will often hear what it wants to hear. And so it is that in our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we hear Paul assert that God chooses the foolish, the weak, the lowly, and the despised, indeed things that do not exist, in order to shame the wise, the strong, and bring to nothing the things that are. And naturally, or we might say not so naturally because of the corruption of sin, we take these words of St. Paul to mean that God sees something inherently good in the things that are weak, foolish, and lowly, and for that reason, He chooses or elects them. That is to say, we think if we make ourselves foolish, weak and lowly, that God will look upon us with favor and for that reason choose us. And after we have made this false interpretation, we go on to assume that those people who are wise, strong, and in a higher position than us must be despised by the Lord. So in our foolishness, we despise the wise. In our weakness, we loathe the strong, and in our low positions, we often cast insults upon those who are in a higher position than we are. Well, this is all foolishness, of course. And if Paul's words were to be understood in the way that our sinful flesh would like to understand them, it would go without saying that even in this place and in all places, there would be discord and strife. Because it goes without saying that in this place and in every place, there are those who are wiser than others. There are those who have been given more first article gifts from God the Father than others. There are those who are in low positions. There are those who are in high positions. But this is not an occasion for either the foolish or the wise, nor the weak or the strong, nor the lowly and the despised, to be in contention with one another. Indeed, to understand Paul's words this way, we would have to despise the apostle himself, because he was very wise indeed. So, maybe we got it wrong. We left out a crucial part of this text's context. In order to understand just what it is that Paul means when he says these things. So we need 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, in order to understand what Paul means in our text for this evening. So here are the verses. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So it is that the foolishness of the crucifixion is the interpretive lens through which we understand what Paul means in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. God does not, in other words, see something inherently good in those things that are foolish, weak, and lowly, and for that reason chooses and elects them. It is true, however, that in His foolishness, weakness, and lowliness, our Lord Jesus Christ becomes the way to the good disposition, the favor, that is, the choosing or the election of God. But what is this foolishness, weakness, and lowliness? Well, we heard about it all the way through Advent and into Christmas, especially when we celebrated the Nativity of our Lord, that God would take on human flesh and blood, take our sins into His body, put them to death on the cross to earn forgiveness of sins for all of mankind. We heard it this evening, when the God-man Jesus submitted Himself to the sinner's baptism, submitted Himself to be handled by John the Baptist. That is, He placed Himself in the Jordan River and He received a kind of reverse baptism, whereby He takes upon you all of your sin so that He can carry it to Jerusalem as the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, who was anointed to die for John the Baptist, for the Apostle Paul, for the sins of the entire world. And indeed, you ought wonder in amazement that He does this also for you. So Jesus, our great stumbling block, our profound folly, is the one through whom we understand what Paul means when he says that God does not choose those things that measure up to the world's understanding of wisdom, strength, and exaltation. For in the world, wisdom is acquired in order to combat the Word of the living God. Strength is possessed in order to oppress the weak. Exaltation is sought after so that the vainglorious pride of men can parade around its own achievements. It's against these things, the world's conception of wisdom, strength, and exaltation, that our Lord is opposed to. And so in the crucifixion, shows forth His foolishness, His weakness, and His lowliness, which He gives to poor sinners who desire the wisdom to fear God above all things and have their own wisdom dashed to pieces. It is this foolishness, weakness, and lowliness of our Lord Jesus Christ that is given to poor sinners that desire the strength to disparage of themselves and depend solely upon God for all that is good and beneficial for them. And it is this foolishness, weakness and lowliness of our Lord Jesus Christ that is given to poor sinners who desire to be exalted in their humiliation to their own death to sin and to receive the favor of God on behalf of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for them in His death and resurrection. On this Wednesday evening, we continue to celebrate and observe the baptism of our Lord. But on Sunday, the church also observed the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Now, it is in the face of the malicious brutality carried out against the old, the young, the mentally handicapped, but especially the unborn, that we are right to cry out to the Lord. Where does the Lord raise up His foolishness, weakness, and lowliness in order to frustrate the wisdom of the wise? Where does God raise up His foolishness, His weakness, and His lowliness to paralyze the strong arm of the strong? Where does God raise up His foolishness, His weakness, and His lowliness to bring low the vainglorious pride of men? In 1973, decision of Roe v. Wade to legalize abortion in the United States, somewhere close to 60 million or more babies have been murdered. Make no mistake, they have been murdered as they grew and developed in the most sacred place in all creation. The life in the womb of every woman is in every instance an undeserved, indeed an unplanned, uncontrolled and an uncontrollable gift from God the Father. Yet it is in this sacred place medical instruments and poisonous drugs, implements of death, are invading in order to tear down the protective walls of the heavenly mystery of the womb. Now, in the face of such brutality, where is the wisdom of the world? When the weakest among us are being murdered, abused, dismembered, and sold into the hands of sinful men, where is the strong arm of the world? When these little ones are forced into the world in nakedness and terror, where is the vainglorious parade of men? Well, I'll tell you. The wisdom, strength, and exaltation of the world are in the medical instruments and the poisonous drugs that are killing our children. The wisdom, strength, and exaltation of the world are in these institutions that allow this madness to continue. And so it is against the strength, the wisdom, and the exaltation of the world that our Lord stands opposed in a kind of eclipsed contrast. When in His foolishness, and in His weakness, and in His lowliness, He did not scorn the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but placed Himself in this humble tabernacle. A space that has now most terribly, and to our great shame and sorrow, become the most dangerous place on earth. The conception of our Lord Jesus frustrates the wisdom of the wise, which in exalted pride believes it has the strength to turn this safe haven into a kind of concentration camp. Indeed, the umbilical cord that nourished our Lord's body, the tiny fingernails that developed on His hands, the four chambers of His tiny heart, the amniotic fluid that surrounded His body, the loving hands of a father that stitched together His body, and indeed every part of our Lord Jesus, are stumbling blocks and folly to the world. Herein we see, while the world believes they have the right to murder unborn children, it was by an unborn child that our Father chose to begin overcoming the world. This baby turns upside down the world's conception of wisdom, strength, and exaltation. He was conceived, grew in the womb, was born, baptized in the Jordan River to have our sins placed upon Him, and was crucified in Jerusalem, so that we see in Him the foolishness and weakness of God that is stronger and more wise than the wisdom of men. Context is everything. Without it, you boast in yourself and indeed despise the things which the Lord has done and gives to you. So let us understand that in this baby, who was carried to term and delivered, the sins of mankind, your sins, were placed upon Him in His crucifixion. In this way, we will realize that the foolishness, weakness, and lowliness of which Paul speaks are those things which belong to our Lord Jesus Christ and have been given to us. Let us boast in these, but not as if they come from ourselves. And let us not be deceived by the world's false conception of wisdom, strength, and exaltation. But let us boast alone in our Lord Jesus, who became foolishness and weakness for us, to forgive us our sins and to take us to that heavenly rest which will have no end. May God grant it for the sake of His Son. Amen. Congregation stands as we continue with the Magnificat, page 231.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for He has
all generations.
Amen. Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. True wisdom for us. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Prayers of the Church. We begin with the Kyrie, top of page 233. Please stand. Lord, Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed Him, your beloved Son, and anointed Him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in His name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with Him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. To those prayer requests that are located in our bulletin. We give thanks for the gift of a son last evening to Brady and Megan Egger. We pray. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me, as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy upon us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously, turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's foolish kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death. In the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious, wise will. Into your merciful hands we commend all who are sick or suffering this day, especially Chuck, Lori, and Todd. And we rejoice with Joe and Sharon Burke at the gift of a great-granddaughter, and Brady and Megan Egger at the gift of a son. Heavenly Father, teach us all to value your holy and precious gift of life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh and to turn from the world and Satan and all his ways. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, the last two verses, verses 5 and 6 of hymn 578. truly wise in the midst of a world of foolishness. We thank Him for that gift of wisdom and the forgiveness of sins. Just a couple of words before we dismiss. Bible study, continue our miracle study in the fellowship hall. The feeding of the 5,000. That's a great miracle right there. All right. If you weren't here last Wednesday, you don't know what the joke is there. We're going to take a little bit of a break from the miracles Bible study during the season of Lent, which is coming up very quickly, and study the 7 penitential psalms. The penitential psalms, a great Lenten time study, and it might, we'll see how long that goes, but at least during the season of Lent. And it'll be a great way for us to prepare for the cross and empty tomb of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Choir up in the balcony. Lifelight tomorrow at 1 o'clock, finishing up the book of Revelation. And take a week break and then come back 2 weeks from tomorrow and start a new Lifelight Bible study on the book of Job. On the book of Job. Should be a great study as well. If you check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes, you'll notice that not this Sunday, but the next Sunday, the 24th, is the big chili feed, chili cook-off. And so if you want to cook and try to win the chili prize, that's great. If you just want to come and eat, that's great. So we'll see if we still have our cold weather or not. We'll make it chili weather, whatever it is. So that is a week from this coming Sunday on the 24th, right after the 10:30 service. What's that? I do not think it is any kind of soup. I think it is chili. Well, when did you change the rules? What's that, this year? Okay. Well, it always used to be a chili cook-off. So, all right. I hate to be corrected by the vicar. Lord, have mercy. All right. Anything else, vicar, that you want to share with us? No. Okay. Pastor, all right. Check. Yeah, there's still a few Lutherans for Life display things out there yet. Check those out. And once again, we thank God for the gift of life as well. Have a great day and week in the Lord Jesus.